Welcome to the Christ Victorious Sermon Series podcast. Join us as we become disciples who know Christ to make Christ known.
Our second lesson comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and in those days they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'll let you have a little time to try and read those chats. They're pretty entertaining. But the point is that every family has those chats, right? We have a group chat. We have a group chat for us. We have one that's the Schmidt that has everybody from all over our family, my brothers and sisters and their kids and everybody else. We also have one for the Shanefuses, for Rachel's family and all of them. And then we have one, the OG group, that's just us, Rachel and I and our kids. And then we have one now that's the Schmidt Booster Pack because Martha is in there and the Schmidt Pack is growing. So, but the point is that you and I, we have these chats with our family, and the thing is that they're all funny, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes we have that family member that takes something a little bit too personally. Maybe your dad texts Kay, and everybody thinks that he's mad now because he's a man of little words and he just said Kay. Or maybe grandma, like up there, all of a sudden keeps on sending the same text or the same meme and she has no idea what the meme actually means and it's embarrassing. Or maybe you have a cousin who talks politics. Or another cousin that dramatically leaves the chat every 6 months because they've had it. And it feels like a hostage situation. But it's amazing, right? I mean, people who love each other, they love each other, and yet they completely misunderstand each other. People that have grown up or go into the cabin together, all of a sudden they don't understand each other because they're speaking past each other, or they're speaking over each other, or they're speaking at each other, but they're not actually talking with each other. We're trying to communicate love and grace or encouragement, but things get lost in that translation. And honestly, sometimes that's exactly how people feel about God, right? People hear Christianity, and what they're hearing Christianity say is, try harder, keep going, be better, clean yourself up. God's disappointed with you. When in reality, God is actually saying to you and to me and to the world, I sent my son for you. You're forgiven. Come home. You're mine. See, that's what Pentecost is, that translation getting translated correctly. See, Pentecost is God refusing to let his gospel get lost in translation. In Acts 2, people from all over the world came together and gathered in Jerusalem. In fact, probably most of them were still there from the Passover and Holy Week for this next huge festival. And suddenly the Holy Spirit falls on people and wind rushes through the house. Fire starts resting on the disciples and the other people in the room, and all these ordinary Galileans start speaking in languages that they never knew before. They had never learned them. Parthians, Medes, Egyptians, Romans, people from all over the world hear the mighty works of God. They hear about the mighty works of God in their own language. And the crowd reacts in a completely weird way, right? The crowd reacts and says, oh, they're filled with new wine. And honestly, this is one of the weirdest and craziest lines in the Bible. Have you ever thought you met somebody drunk and thought, oh wow, Pastor Toby, he's had about 5 margaritas and now he's fluent in Spanish. You've never met me like that. That's not how this works. That's not how drinking works, right? You might think you're speaking in another language when you're a little bit inebriated, but nobody has said, hey, he's bilingual. Or maybe he's just into boxed wine. It doesn't work that way. That's not a side effect of new wine or any kind of alcohol. See, this is something unbelievable that's happening here, because Pentecost, it's God showing off. Pentecost is God making himself understood in a way that everybody can finally understand. This isn't a random miracle. This is a miracle of clarity. The whole point is that people are now hearing the mighty works of God in their own language, in a way that they can actually understand. See, God refuses to let his gospel get lost in translation. And you can't really understand Pentecost unless you first remember the Tower of Babel, right? See, back in Genesis, you had the Tower of Babel. Humanity, they all gathered together. At the time, they were all speaking one language, and together in pride and in rebellion, they said, hey, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build this tower up to heaven so that anybody who sees it says, oh, they are somebody. They were trying to climb to heaven on their own terms. And what happens when we do that? God has other things in mind. And the same thing is true back in the Tower of Babel. Languages, they scatter. Humanity fractures and communication breaks down. See, sin always scatters. It always scatters families. It always scatters friendship. Sin always scatters churches. And it always scatters hearts. See, you can live in the same house with someone and still feel miles apart. You can sit down to dinner with your family and still not understand anybody at the table. And that's not just because they speak a different slang than you do. And spiritually, sin does the same thing. It does the same thing with our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. See, we misunderstand him. We assume that he's against us, and we fear the condemnation that he speaks, when in actuality, he's speaking mercy to you and to me. See, we fear rejection, when in truth, he's speaking forgiveness to you and to me. But But Pentecost is Babel running backwards. Okay? Babel running backwards. See, at Babel, languages, they divided people. And at Pentecost, God's gospel unites people. And what's beautiful is that God doesn't erase languages. Think about that. He doesn't make everyone speak some heavenly language at all. See, the miracle is that everyone hears the same Jesus in their own language. It's almost like God is making the point that the gospel, it's not culturally trapped. That Jesus is not some kind of local God or Hebrew God alone. See, in the ancient world, every nation had local gods, right? A god for this religion, a god for that religion, a god for this part of the land, a god for this farm field. But at Pentecost, God stands up and says, no. No, 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 no. I am the God of heaven and earth. Mine. This is mine. That's mine. This person is mine. Every tribe, every nation, every language, the Spirit gathers everyone together that has been scattered. And the thing is that the Holy Spirit is still doing it today. Did you know that Pentecost, the reason why all the Jewish people were getting together is that Pentecost was actually the festival of God giving his law to Moses and then Moses then speaking the law to his people. Pentecost was actually a celebration of Mount Sinai. Scholars suggest and think that Sinai and Moses going up on Mount Sinai to get the law from God was about 50 days after they left Egypt. And penta means five, right? And so all of this is fitting there. Sinai had on top of it too, if you remember, it had fire and it had smoke. And the presence of God was descending on this mountain. Think about that for a moment. Fire and smoke and the presence of God descending. But now at Pentecost, something different, something even greater is happening. See, at Mount Sinai, God wrote his law on stone tablets. But the thing is that at Pentecost, he writes his gospel on hearts. At Sinai, people, they stood at a distance. They weren't supposed to approach the mountain for the fear of death. As God said, don't touch the mountain or you'll surely die. But at Pentecost, the Spirit comes near. The presence of God is there. And not just beside people, but in them. The Spirit of God entered into them, not just coming around them. Not just beside them, but in them. And Peter stands up in the middle of all of this chaos, kind of like Moses, but so much better, among the crowds. And he quotes the prophet Joel, and Joel says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Did you notice who that includes? Who's a part of this all flesh? Well, sons and daughters, young and old, men and women, servants and outsiders. That means everybody. And this is one of the most beautiful aspects of Pentecost is that God isn't rationing out his Holy Spirit on a token few. He isn't pouring out his Spirit drop by drop on just a few select spiritual people. Instead, Jesus gives his Spirit without measure on everyone. And immediately, Peter points everyone to Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit always does. The Spirit doesn't shine the spotlight on himself. He shines the spotlight on Christ. And Peter says, this is Jesus, Jesus who was crucified, Jesus who was risen, Jesus who was exalted for you. For each and every one of you. Not just the people in the crowd, but everyone sitting here today. Jesus for you. Because the Spirit's work isn't just producing emotional experiences or highs. The Spirit's work is making Jesus understood. Not just intellectually understood and not just academically understood, not knowing Christ in that kind of way, but personally knowing Christ intimately, knowing that he sees you as you are, all of your hidden and dark places, and yet he still comes because he wants all of you. And the greatest miracle of Pentecost, the greatest miracle of Pentecost today isn't any of us speaking in tongues, but instead it's stubborn sinners like you and me hearing about Jesus and that he loves you. Hearing about Jesus and letting that faith take root by the power of the Holy Spirit so you and I can believe in him and find peace and comfort in him. That fearful people hear that you are forgiven. That grieving people hear that death doesn't win. That ashamed people hear that you are mine. See, that's the Spirit's work. Maybe the most comforted thing about Pentecost is who God uses. There were the 12 that were in there. The new disciple, Matthias, has already been decided, but in addition to that, we learn in Acts that there are about 120 people up in that room, ordinary people, not polished, not religious celebrities or celebrities of any kind, not experts, and nobody with a perfect resume. Just ordinary followers of Jesus, which honestly should encourage the snot out of you and me. Because the mission of God, the mission of Christ, the mission of the Spirit is the mission of the church. It's yours and mine now. And it never depended on impressive people. It never depended on how much chocolate syrup God poured into people in the Old Testament or today. It's always been dependent on the Holy Spirit alone. Jesus told his disciples that the gospel would go out to the ends of the earth. And humanly speaking, that should have failed immediately, right? I mean, you know Peter and everybody else who took off that night. These guys, they're just small town Galileans, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots. All these people, they could speak Greek, but who knows what else they could speak. Maybe a little bit of Hebrew to be in synagogue and hear something different. But God had that covered, see? Because God gets done what he wants to get done, and he still does that today. See, Peter? Do you remember Peter? Peter, the one who's preaching here in Acts 2, this bold preaching and presentation to thousands and thousands of people just a few weeks earlier, sitting around a campfire, couldn't even talk to a little serving girl. Twice she called him out, and he freaked out. And here he's preaching Christ to the nations. See, that's what the Spirit does. He takes fearful people and makes them bold. He takes broken people and makes them his witnesses. He takes scattered people and scattered sinners and makes them family together. And he still does this today. Which means that your life has purpose. That you are important in the kingdom of God. Now, you might never preach to thousands. But you may speak Jesus to a hurting friend. You might speak Jesus to a grandchild. You might speak Jesus to an exhausted coworker or classmate or a lonely neighbor. And the Spirit works through all of those little moments because God refuses to let his gospel get lost in translation. It's not going to get lost in Jerusalem. It's not going to get lost in Waconia or Chaska. It's not going to get lost in your home, and it's not going to get lost in your family. See, there are people living all around us. And they feel like they're in spiritual dead zones. They're convinced that God could never reach them. They're convinced that that God would never forgive them, and that God would never love them. But Pentecost says otherwise. See, Pentecost says, with God, there are absolutely no gospel dead zones in this world, that the Spirit still speaks, that the Spirit still calls, that the Spirit still gathers, and the Spirit still forgives, and the Spirit still points people to Jesus. And somehow through pastors, through parents, through teachers, through water in the Word, through ordinary Christians, through you and me, an extraordinary grace, that gospel has reached you. See, the fire of Pentecost, it spread from Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth, and somehow it has reached here, and somehow it has reached you. So today, heaven speaks today and says to you, you are forgiven. You belong to Jesus, because God refuses to let his gospel get lost in translation. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. This time I invite you to stand as we confess to everyone around us, as we participate in Pentecost by declaring to one another and to the world who God is and who we get to be because of him, using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.